Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello and welcome to Fantasy Five-A-Side on Football Ramble Daily with me, Jim Campbell. My guest today is the founder and driving force of Ask Blog and its podcast equivalent Ask Cast, one of the forefathers of DIY football media and a legend in the game. Welcome, Andrew Mangan and or Ask Blogger. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm good, Jim. How are you? Good to talk to you.
You too, mate. Thank you very much for coming on the show. So as I say, I mean, AskCast really was, and Ask Blog really was one of the first things to realize it was possible for us to do this, you know, to actually just make a living talking about the things you care about in a passionate but sometimes daft way.
Yes, daft is a good way of putting it. All right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's been going now. I mean, look, 18 years for the website, 12 years for the podcast. So, you know, at this point, I'm fairly wedded into this strange, bizarre existence that I have talking nonsense about Arsenal on a daily basis.
It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Because I think when you start something like this, you assume that there would perhaps, I don't know, maybe be a shelf life on podcasts, but because they're a new thing, and it's true of blogs as well, because they're a new thing, it doesn't necessarily have to be the case, isn't it? And thankfully for us, it's not, and people are still engaged, and it's a great community.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I think what's great about it, and I've always said this about blogs first and then podcasts as they've come along and become more ubiquitous, is that there is literally something for everyone out there. You know, if you don't like the Arsecast, there are so many other Arsenal podcasts to listen to. If you don't like Football Ramble, there are so many other football podcasts for you out there to listen to. And it's sort of like a
let's make it clear that these hypothetical people are wrong.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that. They're completely wrong and probably should be in prison. But, you know, there is something there for those people. And that's it. I mean, there's a sort of what's been interesting over the last little while is the I think previously you needed to have, let's say, a bit of knowledge about the medium or whatever to make things sound good. And technology is brilliant now. Microphones are cheaper. Connection stuff is easier than ever. So you can make a really good sounding podcast with not very much these days. So it just means that anyone can do it and pretty much anyone is.
But we got there first.
We were there first. We've got our feet in the ground. We're the foundations of it. But, you know, in some ways, maybe it's nice to think that, you know, someone who listened to your show or my show went and thought, hey, I'd like to do that. And if those guys can do it, I can do it.
Absolutely.
Fair play, you know?
Yeah, indeed. So I know from reading our blog and listening to the show that you are a semi-regular five-a-side player.
Yeah.
And so obviously you're coming into this as the player manager of this team. So if anyone's listening to this podcast for the first time, the premise is very much that Andrew will pick a five-a-side team of which he is the player manager, and he will have one super sub who cannot be a footballer, so seven players in total. So who have you gone for as your first pick?
Hey, can I just ask a question here? Because, you know, do you ever go like over the rules of five-a-side in terms of how they're played? Because I find English rules are quite different from Irish rules.
Is that right? Because I always work on what I know five-a-side rules to be here, because they're flexible as well, and there's different types. Right. I always go no overhead height, goalkeeper can't leave the box. Other than that, you're probably pretty much golden.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. We have that. Goalkeeper can't come out. You can only shoot in the half.
All right.
We play in like a caged five-a-side thing, so you can only score from inside the half.
That's good, because that stops the sort of Laurent Robert types that you get in every five-a-side team who will just shoot on sight.
I am kind of a bit like that. I like a good shot from distance. You know, the pitch is big enough that you can have a go, but we don't do it the overhead height thing. And I've played some games where, you know, you can't go in the box. Some strange ones, but
yeah, the overhead height one is kind of flexible, I think. That is one that I've certainly played it with it and played it without it. I'm, you know, it'll all be down to whoever the referee is on the day.
Referee, I love the idea that you got a referee in a five-a-side game. That's brilliant. But, you know, I am of the firm opinion that headers should count double in five-a-side.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It is hard.
Yeah, we play with these kind of, they're quite wide goals, but they're low. You know, they're maybe only, I suppose they'd be up to the bottom of your rib cage. I'm a 6 foot tall man, right. So they're maybe just up to the bottom of your rib cage, maybe just below the nipple, if I might say. But they're wide. So, you know, to score a header in a five-a-side game, I think should be...
extra
should be rewarded. Yeah,
I agree. It's very difficult to get a football to do what you tell it to with your foot.
Sure.
With your head, it's even more so.
For sure. I know all about that. Anyway, sorry, I've taken this on a wild...
Absolutely fine. That's trip. What we're here for, really. But let's get your first player onto the pitch, though. Who
okay.
Have you gone for?
First player, I did pick a goalkeeper, and you told me that I didn't have to necessarily pick a keeper, because we can all do our turn in goal. That's the way it works. You know, whoever's tired, whoever's made a lung-busting run up the other end of the pitch and has to go in goal for a bit of a rest. But my first player is Paolo Maldini.
Can I firstly say it's a huge flex to not pick a goalkeeper. You're the first person to have taken that option.
Right.
But I think if you've got literally anyone that's ever existed as an option, picking a specialised goalkeeper seems like an obvious choice. But at the same time, this is what five-a-side's about, isn't it? You all do your turn in goal. I think actually most footballers would be happy to do that. I know Wayne Rooney was very keen on playing in goal, wasn't he? You see players larking about all the time in training.
Aubameyang as well does it, doesn't he? He goes in goal, and they show some videos on the Arsenal website of Aubameyang having a great old time.
Flipping around.
I mean, he... he must frighten the coaches and the manager when he goes in goal, because you're thinking, well, what if he just dives and breaks his shoulder? But then every time he scores, he does an impossible tumble that would paralyze me if I were to attempt it. So
he's in that sort of quality of player where I don't really consider him to be part of the same species that I am. So I just sort of feel it's better to just let them get on with these magical things, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Paolo Maldini as well would be one of those players, because what a man.
Mm. Well, as a, you know, as a, when I played 11-a-side, I was a central defender, center half. And you look at players who play in that position and you think, God, I'd love to be like that guy. And Maldini was one of those players, just so natural in defense and, you know, handsome bastard as well.
Yeah. I think he defines my idea of like a handsome Italian man.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, the eyes, the hair, you know, he could have, you know, easily grown out the beard a little bit, you know, stubbled it up a bit and taken it to a new level. But you're looking at like he's a sort of a footballing Don Draper, isn't he?
Very much so. And also, I mean, Cesare Maldini was a genuine Milan legend and an Italian legend, really. And I can't think of another example where a son has not just come out of his father's shadow like that, but actually eclipsed him. So there's a lot of valor going on with Paolo Maldini.
There is as well, you know, and a great left foot. And his own son has just started his career as well, hasn't he? So, I mean,
what heights can he hit based on the genes he's got?
There's some good DNA there.
So Maldini, I mean, he is one of those players that I remember from almost like my own footballing youth. You know, he was one of those really, really big, important players that kind of defined the game. But he was one of the good guys within that. And I would absolutely love to be on a pitch with him.
Yeah, I mean, he just has the name, doesn't he? The name Maldini, and you associate it with quality, and obviously that AC Milan team that he was a part of for a period there was just, you know, the talent that they had was incredible. And I think you're right. You know, I think there's probably a running theme through my team when we look back on it. When you talk about him being a nice guy, I kind of think that's there in my team. I'm a bit of a sucker for that as well. So
honorable men.
Yeah, honorable men, but great footballers as well.
Yeah. So I've, because you've gone Maldini first, I've sort of can't get it out of my head that the goalkeepers are going to rotate. So I almost feel like you've picked Maldini as a goalkeeper, which is insane.
Whoever turns up last has to go and goal first. They can work it out.
Absolutely. It is fun, isn't it? I think it's my preferred position in five-a-side, actually.
In goal?
I don't know, you feel invincible if you start having a good game. And obviously, because the goals are quite small, you know, a save can often feel better than it is, if that makes sense. So that's a good way to boost confidence. But Maldini's a strong, strong start. That's a rock at the heart of any defence, or even perhaps in goal in this scenario. So are you alongside him on the pitch while you're playing?
Oh, well, yeah. Look, as a player manager, I'll roll on and off a bit with all these guys. You know, I wouldn't mind Maldini telling me what to do. If I'm the nominal defender in a five-a-side game and he's in goal and he's telling me where to go and where to run, God, I'd love that. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. He'd be happily directing traffic. So who's your next choice? Your first technical outfield player, but, you know, actually your second outfield player.
Okay, it is. I know I've only been able to pick two from Arsenal, and anybody who is a regular reader or listener will know that my favorite player of all time is Robert Pires. So that's who I've gone for, because the idea of being on a pitch with him as well is that's pants wetting stuff.
What an absolute dreamboat Robert Pires was, and indeed is. I think the scenario of him coming to Arsenal was an interesting one as well. I think people forget that he replaced Mark Overmars. And I think a kind of a like-for-like replacement is actually a quite rare thing in football, isn't it? You see it spoken about in transfers a lot if a big player's moving, but it's not often, you know, a player that plays in the left comes in directly for a player that plays on the left, but that's exactly what happened here. And big shoes to, well, small shoes to fill, but a big reputation to fill, really, because Overmars was so loved and had been such a success at Arsenal. And it took Pires a while, didn't it, to sort of find his feet. But once he did, wow.
Yeah, what a player. I mean, look, they were very different to Overmars and Pires in terms of how they played. Overmars was really head down, speed at the defence, you know, and he had that lightning pace that was so terrifying to defenders.
Yeah.
You know, I think there was an element where, you know, in the final season of his career at Arsenal, Overmars, along with Petit as well, you wondered if their hearts were really quite in it. And I don't know that they were. So, you know, to go out and get 25 odd million from Barcelona at that time, who've given us a lot of money for players
down here. In 2000 as well.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a lot of money then.
It sure was. So I think the thing about Pires as well is that he had a big choice to make before he joined Arsenal. It was, you know, Real Madrid were after him. And as somebody who's one of his parents, I don't know if it's his mother or his father, is Spanish. You know, Real Madrid, of course, is just an amazing institution and very attractive for any football player, but one, you know, who comes from Spain or has got some Spanish family, you know, even more so. But Arsene Wenger, being the smooth operator that he was, you know, was able to say, look, we've got a French contingent here. You should come and join that. Thierry Henry, Patrick Vieira, etc.
Yeah.
You know, come and join that. And that was the thing, I think, that convinced him. And yeah, it took him a while to get going. It took him a while to come to terms with the physicality and the pace and everything else, the ferocity, if you like, of English football. But once he did, he was just a such a beautiful player to watch.
Absolutely. I think Robert Pires might have the most distinctive run of any individual footballer I've ever seen. It kind of ran on his heels in this slightly sort of duck-footed way that looked like simultaneously ungainly, but also quite kind of refined, which was very, very strange. And as you say, it was a very different player from Overmars, who relied so much on pace. And it wasn't that Pires lacked pace, but it was like, if he was going to take on a defender, he'd take the scenic route around that defender. And he'd always get where he was going, but he would just do it in a bit more of a methodical way, which I always enjoyed. Oh, I miss him.
Yeah, he did it with his footwork, didn't he? And you're right, he ran like an elegant duck. but you know, you think of some of the moments where he completely bamboozled defenders, and I, you know, one of my favorite ever Arsenal goals wasn't scored by Robert Pires, scored by Freddie Ljungberg. It was at Anfield when Arsenal were down to 10 men and 1-2-0. But there was a moment where, when faced with Steven Gerrard, Pires just put the ball from one foot to the other, and Gerrard was standing there going, Where's the ball? And he just crossed it, and Ljungberg made one of those runs and took the ball in at the near post. And, you know, what I loved about Pires as well is that he could score beautiful goals. You think about that lob against Aston Villa. You think about the one that he hit first time against Southampton, where it just sort of looped. I think it probably looped about 700 feet into the air and then just landed under the crossbar, and goals from distance that he scored against Tottenham. But, you know, he loved a scrappy goal as well. So if the keeper fumbled the ball, he was there to tap it in. And I think in a game of five-a-side, you need the guy who can do that as well as all the other stuff as well. So if there's a ball rebounding around and nobody knows quite where it is, Robert Pires will, and he'll stick it in the back of the net.
Absolutely. I can't help but think of that penalty debacle against Man City as well when I think of Robert Pires, because I think he was supposed to effectively pass it, wasn't he? But he brushed it with his studs. And I love that, because Arsenal were 1-0 up. Like, they were taking the piss at that point. And that was, you know, just after sort of title winning season. So they were in a little bit of decline, but perhaps without being too aware of that at the time. But I actually quite love the showboating element of them doing that silly penalty routine, and the fact that it was only 1-0 and it could have blown up in their faces, but didn't.
Yeah. Look, it is one of those that if they'd scored it, people would have talked about it for a while. But the fact that they didn't score it means it gets talked about forever. So, you know, there was certainly an arrogance to what they were trying to do. And, it, you know, I think as well, there's a sort of simplicity in our simplicity. I mean, people don't think about doing that with penalties, even though if you do it or if you execute it properly, it gives you a fairly easy tap in. But of course, yes, they made a mess of it and everyone was laughing and pointing and everything else. But there was some logic to it beyond the arrogance and beyond the, let's take the piss out of these guys because, you know, we can. And we're that good that we can think about doing it. There was a kind of footballing logic to it as well. But the execution was not there on the day, for sure.
So let's move on to your next player. You've gone for another Arsenal player. You got the quota early. I don't think anyone will be surprised by that, to be fair.
No. Look, Maldini, nice guy. Pires, nice guy, as you can see from the training pictures where I think he lives there now, doesn't he, at London Colney? He lives at the...
Yeah, he's always there. I think, to be fair, it must be said, he's not a nice guy if you support Portsmouth, but I don't know what sort of monster would do that. So
yeah, exactly. He must have like a tent or something just on one of the pitches. He just wakes up in the morning, uses the dew on the grass to wash his face, and there he is in his training kit to hang out with the lads. But, you know, somebody who probably is maybe the nicest man in football at the moment. I don't know anybody who could possibly have something bad to say about Santi Cazorla.
Oh.
And, you know, we're playing five-a-side. This is a small pitch. You know, to have somebody who is genuinely amazingly skillful, but also the most two-footed player I've ever seen in my life.
I would agree with that word for word. Do you know what is nominally stronger foot is? I have no idea if he's officially left footed or right footed because it doesn't seem to matter. Have you seen his son doing the stay at home challenge, doing kick ups with the toilet roll? Because his son is two footed as well. I'm calling it now. Yeah. Even at that age, you can see it's just natural sort of ambidextrous. He's naturally ambidextrous, shall we say? I'm not sure what word I was trying to mangle out there.
I think we got it.
Yeah, we got there in the end. So I think you're right. He's one of the most likable footballers there is. He's an adorable footballer as well. I think somebody sent us an email once and they were working in a hotel and Santi Cazorla was staying there and they brought up some room service. And when they went into the room, Santi Cazorla was playing FIFA and he was wearing a full Villarreal kit as he was doing it, which evidently is basically his pajamas, which is just, I know, right? It's like this adorable chipmunk man that happens to be a wonderful footballer in person. Just, I can't get enough of him.
I wonder how good he is at FIFA.
I bet he's amazing.
He must
two-handed.
Two-handed, yeah, he can use both his hands.
Presumably that's how that works, right? If you are ambidextrous.
I don't know. I think you can train yourself. You've got to have some natural aptitude for it anyway, because some people, you know, who are amazing with their correct foot look like, I don't know what they look like. You know, if you ask, this is the acid test. You know, we can all, not all of us, but, you know, you can play a pass with your left foot and you can maybe take a shot with your left foot. But I think the true measure of how ambidextrous a person is or how two-footed they are is with a dead ball, with a set piece. So, like, I don't know if you ever played in a team where your goalkeeper was not great at kicking it, you know?
Yeah.
Which is quite often the case with goalkeepers because, you know, they were the worst guy, so they just got thrown in goal. But,
you know,
as a center half, I played in some teams where you have to take the goal kicks. Mm. So you're whacking the ball downfield. Ask a guy to do it with his wrong foot and you will see the measure of his two-footedness because you just end up like toe-bogging them or doing something. So I've lost track of this here completely, but we're talking about Santi Cazorla and his two-footedness and everything else.
I just want to just cut in briefly to ask for an explanation of the word toe-bogging. Is that the same as toe-punting?
I think you call it toe-punting there. Yeah, toe-bog is like... You bog the ball, like you give it a good bog. That's fairly Irish, I think.
I think I prefer yours, to be fair.
Yeah. Toe bogger or toe bog is when you do that, where you toe punt it and you score a goal, like Ronaldinho did that time against Chelsea in the Champions League. But do you remember the Arsenal game where we had a corner and Cazorla was taking it, was about to take it with his right foot, and Lauren Koscielny gave him a signal and just made him take an in-swinger with his left.
I do remember that, yeah.
Amazing. The ability to do that is incredible.
Yeah, and especially like just in an instant like that. It's just not a problem. And he is, as we've said already, he's clearly a very, very, he's one of the good guys. And we mentioned Real Madrid earlier and how obviously if you're Spanish, that is a real pull. But it must be said about Real Madrid that they are, of course, some sort of evil empire and always have been. And they were very, very public about trying to sign him when he was at Villarreal. And he ended up turning them down. And he said, there are many other things in football besides Real Madrid. It's clear that it is possible to say no to them. There is no doubt that they are a great team, but I also feel very satisfied and valued at my club. And a surprisingly sort of forthright from a man so adorable as Santi. But it's like, yeah, no, you're right. You don't have to join them.
Yeah.
You don't have to make this big protracted transfer saga. You can just do what you like.
Yeah. Be your own man and forge your own path in the world of football. Look, you know, I think we all kind of like that guy, don't we, who is willing to turn down the big bucks and the big money and you know, I won't say plays just for the love of the game, but I think you have to have a deep love of football to come through what Santi Cazorla has come through over the last couple of years. You know, that injury that he sustained was terrible, and then the complications from the surgery and, you know, we've seen the pictures where he's had skin grafted off his arm. You know, he had a tattoo with his son's name or his daughter's name, and it's sort of, you know, there on his heel. You know, to go through what he went through to come back and play football and to play at the level he was playing at, you know, last season and this season in Spain before things shut down. Amazing. Just what an amazing player and what an amazing desire and love he has for the game. And look, you know those teammate things that they do on Soccer AM or whatever they are, and it's like who's the cheekiest player, who's the joker, and who's this, but you know, who's the most skillful? It was always Cazorla.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
So before we move on to your next player, I know that you have a couple of dogs, don't you? A couple of German shepherds.
That's right, yeah.
Santi has a dog called Zlatan. So I'm hoping maybe there'll be some sort of dog party going on at the side of the pitch. Maybe you can bring yours. Santi can bring Zlatan. You know, the other guys can bring theirs along. I think, you know, dogs at football is a fine thing, and five-a-side is no exception from that. So after that little dog diversion, we are going to move on to your next pick, which is one that I'm very, very excited about. I would say one of the coolest footballers ever. Who have you gone for?
Brazilian Socrates, not the one who's currently playing at centre-half for Arsenal. But that's,
no.
That's Socrates, isn't it? That's a bit more Greek, I think. But Socrates, yeah. I don't know. I just remember him from the World Cup in 1982. So I was 11 when that took place, and I remember it being on the TV, and I remember we were watching it with, you know, all of us watching it as kids, and we're going out and playing, you know, three and in between games and stuff like that. But he just looked cool.
Yeah.
He looked like football was easy for him. And I kind of like that elegance, and I like that attitude. You know, we can all admire the players who didn't necessarily have the greatest amount of skill, but worked really hard. You think of your Ray Parlers, your David Beckhams, those kind of guys who weren't necessarily the most gifted players, but put in the effort, and, you know, whether it was physical, or Beckham with his training, you know, that he'd take a bazillion set pieces in order to make himself as good as he could possibly be. You know, there's something hugely admirable about that. But the guy who can just kind of stroll onto the pitch with a lit cigarette hanging out of his mouth, whether that's, you know, metaphorical or not.
Yeah.
In his case, you know, it nearly wasn't.
There's a great quote from him about exactly this aspect of his character, which is, I'm an anti-athlete. I cannot deny myself certain lapses from the strict regime of a sportsman. You have to take me as I am.
Yeah.
I love that. And he was known as Dr. Socrates, wasn't he? Because he was actually a qualified physician as well.
Yeah, he definitely had a doctorate. He was a really smart, intelligent guy. You know, he had a social conscience as well. But, you know, he liked to smoke and he liked to drink. Would he last in the modern era? Maybe not. You know, we're playing a five-a-side where we've got a couple of subs. So, you know, he can give us 5 minutes, come off, have a smoke, have a, I don't know what he would like, whether he would like some kind of beach cocktail. I don't know what it would be. He could have what he wants, you know.
Play with the dogs.
Hyperenia, something like that. Play with the dogs, exactly. Sit down. Give us a bit of a left wing spiel about, you know, the political state of the world, and then, you know, he can come back on and do a bit, score a couple of goals. I like that. I just like the character, and I like the ability to be able to do what he did, but to do it on his own terms. I think there's something really cool about that.
So this is an absolutely incredible thing about him as well. Before he died, he said that his wish was to die on a Sunday when Corinthians won a trophy. And that happened.
Get out.
He died on a Sunday. Corinthians drew 0-0 with Palmeiras, and they won what was then their first Brazilian title for 6 years. How amazing is that?
That's incredible. He even fucking died on his own terms.
Yeah.
I'll play football how I want. I'll die when I want and how I want.
It's a life lived just to the full, isn't it? Even right to the end. It's beautiful.
Brilliant. I'm even more glad I picked him now.
So we're going to move on to your final pick now. I'm surprised this man has never come up before. But even that introduction is probably a little giveaway as to who he is. But who have you gone for?
Lionel Messi.
Oh.
I just, you know, again, I'm thinking about, you know, there's a competitive part of me here that wants to win these hypothetical five-a-side games. Right? So yeah, I'm going to need some good players to offset my my slightly wooden-paced efforts on the pitch. But Messi, you think about him and see what he does on an 11-a-side pitch, and you look at the close control and the ability that he has to almost find space where it looks impossible for there to be space, whether that's for a shot, whether it's for a dribble, you know, he's just astonishing in that regard. So, you know, first and foremost, I think he'd be really good on this hypothetical five-a-side team, but also he's the best football player I've ever seen in my life.
I would agree with that. And it's not exactly a controversial opinion from either of us. And also, you know, both of us have seen him absolutely terrorize our team, which really see it in much sharper focus when it's suddenly against you.
I went to the Camp Nou to watch Barcelona versus Arsenal. I've done that more than once, but there was a game where we went there and we scored early, Through Nicholas Bentner.
I remember it well. Was that the game where Robin van Persie was sent off?
No, that was a different game. I'm going to have to... I'll look this up as we're talking. But I was there and we were there and we were celebrating the goal that Arsenal had scored through Nicholas Bentner. And within, I would say, 60 seconds, we hadn't even finished celebrating and Barcelona had scored through Lionel Messi. Yeah, Bentner scored in the 18th minute. Lionel Messi scored the 21st minute. So we were celebrating for a bit too long, maybe. but on that night, he scored 4 goals. And it was, you know, it was that classic case of, you know, don't make him angry. You won't like him when he's angry. Or, you know, don't poke the hornet's nest because they'll just come to life. He was unbelievable. Unbelievable that night. And I know there were mitigating circumstances in that Arsenal had Mikhail Silvestre playing center half, which wasn't great. God. But he was just astonishing. And it was one of those where, you know, I'm not the most magnanimous football fan in that the opposite. Am I allowed to swear here?
Yeah, go for it.
The opposition can go fuck themselves.
Absolutely.
In every event. When we win, go fuck yourself. When we lose, definitely go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And if we draw, you know, also go fuck yourself, even though the spoils are shared. I'm very, very rarely open to the idea of giving credit to the opposition because I just don't like it. It's not in my nature. But that day, it was just a privilege to watch him do what he did, even though he was doing it against us.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you just have to take your hat off. And if you don't own a hat, you have to go out and you have to buy a hat and then you have to put that hat on and then take that hat off because it's just, there was one of the goals where I think it might've been the fourth where at this point, you know, you've already got a hat trick. You don't need to score the best goal of the game at that point. But if you're Messi, you can just do it easily where it was very close control, wasn't it? Did he dink it over Almunia and then meet it on the other side and tap it in with about 3 players around him? It's as you say, like, it looks like he can do things that other players can't, and he sees these little things. And it, to me, it's almost as if, you know, when people talk about like a figurine having like X amount of, you know, a large number of points of articulation, it's like he's got extra bones in his body, or he can move in extra ways. And it said that there are more than the dimensions we're aware of in the universe, that some of them are really tiny and they're folded up. It's like he can access those, and the close control, it's just, I've never seen anything like it. I'd really like to see actually a movie like, much like the Zidane movie that Mogwai soundtracked
for Messi.
To see him up close like that. And to get all of those little extra touches he takes that are just, you know, no one else would think of, and what it is that he does to make it look so simple and yet so utterly devastating.
That is the beauty of him, is that you look at it and you go, well, has he done anything particularly special there? And then they slow it down, and it's just the ability to find a way around or through situations that normal players, and we're talking really, really, really good players, just cannot and have never been able to. And he can somehow glide his way past a defense. He can chip the ball with the kind of precision and accuracy that, you know, if you were to look at it, you would say it's somehow computer controlled or predefined, or it's CGI. He's, you know those videos that came out where it'd be like some guy and he's hit the ball 5 times in a row off the crossbar and it's an ad Nike or whatever. Didn't Ronaldinho do one or something?
Yeah, I think it was fake, wasn't it? But
yeah,
still.
It was. I mean, it was in the very early days of CGI where they were able to do these things, and we didn't really know whether it was real or not. I mean, Messi strikes me as the kind of guy who could do it.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
I think it was one of the England players who I think was in the game against Argentina in the 1986 World Cup, who said of Diego Maradona that his hand was like that his foot was like a hand. And I think Messi's the same, really. He absolutely must be to be able to control the ball in the way he has it. I mean, in fact, I don't know if anyone's checked that they are feet. Maybe they are hands. I don't know how you sort of check for such a thing. But one thing I really like as well is that Messi, the quality of him and the status of him has stopped the whole new Maradona thing. And I don't think people are necessarily saying there's a new Messi, because it's just ridiculous to put that burden on anybody. But I think probably for Argentinian football as well, it's great that has finally been shifted, because someone came along who is, you know, you could argue better or is at least on the same sort of pedestal.
Yeah. Yeah, look, you know, those comparisons are always going to be made. You know, and Maradona was in his own way a truly remarkable player. And one, you know, for quite a while, I looked at and admired because of what he could do and how he did it. But I felt, you know, because of the other stuff that went on in his life, you're wondering, you know, is this guy wasting his talent? Has he wasted this gift? Which, you know, I think it's clear he did in some ways. Mm. But I watched that documentary, the one that was out last year.
Yeah, it was fantastic, wasn't it?
Unbelievable. And it gave me a very different perspective on him and his life and the way that the pressures of this fame and this talent had an impact on him and his character and everything else. And, you know, he did some stuff which isn't really defendable and isn't particularly nice, but to have it in this different context was really interesting. So anyone out there who hasn't seen it, do track it down, because it's an amazing film. So yeah, so that's it.
So yeah, I mean, you got your five actual footballers now.
Yes.
And obviously yourself as player manager. But you get to pick a sub who is a non-footballer, which is often probably my favorite part of the show, really. Because it allows people a license to be creative, and you've certainly done that. So who have you gone for?
Omar Little.
From The Wire.
From The Wire. Like, I wasn't sure if I had to pick a real person or not, but then I thought, considering this whole thing is hypothetical, why couldn't I pick a character?
You are the first person to do that. I've left that deliberately vague to see if people do it. You're the first person to go with a fictional character. So kudos. A couple of firsts on here from you. No Good. Goalkeeper, fictional sub.
I'm glad. I'm a trendsetter, I hope. Look, you know, I think The Wire is up there with the best television series of all time.
Without doubt.
Unquestionably, it's right there in my top three. And he is just one of the coolest characters in it. You know, there's so much going on in that show. There are so many cool characters and so many strong performances as well. But Omar, from the very start, just kind of has this swagger. You know, he's got he's kind of like this Robin Hood type figure in a way. Like, he's not quite as rob from the rich and give to the poor as Robin Hood might have been.
Yeah.
But, you know, this idea that he's robbing the other drug dealers.
Yeah, well, this is it, isn't it? If you've not seen The Wire, Omar is what's known as a stick-up man, who is a man who makes his living from robbing drug dealers. And he wasn't a drug dealer himself, was he, in the show? He would just rob drug dealers. And again, I like this because, you know, we've touched on it already, that you've got a lot of very upstanding people in your team. And even though Omar is, you know, technically a murderous thief, he's got a code. You know, man's got to have a code is something he says regularly throughout the show and in Community, when he's quite hilariously parachuted into that as well. And I mean, I also wondered, do you have a little bit of a lack of steel in midfield? But I think that will certainly be offset by having Omar on the bench.
For sure.
You know, you're going to have the opposition thinking, oh, you know what? You know, these guys might be potentially be a little bit of a soft touch. And then you hear someone go, Omar coming! And it's like, oh, no.
Exactly.
That guy's got a shotgun.
Exactly. Under his specially made trench coat, which will be in a football kit design, of course. You're the only one wearing a sort of below the knees kind of football shirt, in which he can pack his shotgun and do his business.
And also, I mean, you might be at home thinking, hang on, guys, you can't let him bring a shotgun onto the pitch. So I'm not going to tell him he can't do that. No one's going to tell him he can't do that. So
you tell Omar he's not allowed to bring a shotgun onto the pitch. And the other thing as well about Omar is, you know, as a character as well, because he was, you know, this black guy in this tough world, and he was gay. And I thought that was a really cool part of what made him just a fascinating character. And it's what You know, the fact that he robbed from the drug dealers was a reason for them to hate him. But the fact that they were being robbed by a gay man really, really emasculated them in a way. And I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, I believe, if I remember rightly, once they discover that, don't they double the price on his head?
Yeah, there was something. Yeah, it's like, we really need to get this guy now, you know. And there's an amazing scene, which people can look up online as well, of Omar giving evidence in the courtroom and in his final line to the lawyer. I can't quite remember it off the top of my head, but, you know, he's basically saying, I rob people with guns, you rob people with a briefcase. It's all in the game.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Well, that's a lovely conclusion to your team. Andrew, thank you very much for coming on. So where can people find Arseblog and Arsecast?
Arseblog.com. Search for the Arsecast, you know, wherever you get your podcasts, in, you know, whatever app you like to use to listen to podcasts. Just search for Arseblog or Arsecast and it'll be there. You can subscribe. And yeah, that's it. It's out there for anyone who wants to find it. We're on Twitter at Arseblog as well. And that's it. And this has been great. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for inviting me.
Cool. Well, there we go. That's Fantasy Five Aside for another show. Thank you very much, Andrew, for coming on. And thank you guys, as ever, for tuning in and listening. Cheers.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.